And nothing new, just going to talk a little bit about reviewing the signs of the times. And we'll just, I don't have any scripture marked either. I'll just ask you if we turn to some to try to follow along with me. This is a subject that would certainly take more than tonight. We could spend some other nights on it, and we might do that as time comes. I said nothing new. I did hear about a new pistol that's been made. I believe it was by Smith and Wesson, or was it Ruger? I'm not sure, but one or the other made a brand new pistol. Anybody know what a pistol is? This day and time, it's an evil thing. It's a gun. You know what I'm saying? It's a junk. Anyway, I heard they made a new one. It's called a Union pistol. Union pistol. Very costly. Won't work. And you can't fire it. Get mad if you want to. Everybody has to be the point of some joke. If it's a joke, don't they? Amen. All right. Matthew 24. Pick it up in verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. Remember down the end of the chapter here, chapter 23, he set up on Mount Olivet and cried over Jerusalem. But he went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, for the sake of time, I'm going to stop there, but I know this is a very familiar chapter and so much more to be said about it. But when I first got saved, I got excited when I heard Jesus was coming again. I really did. I've been excited ever since. I will be honest, I've been more excited at some times than others. I'm going to cough at you some tonight. Now I've had several days of this stuff. In fact, in my college class, I give them points for how many times I cough. If they can count them all and keep them. I'm joking with you some now, but kind of coughed at them yesterday big time. Anyway, I understand there's a guy out there already got another date set for Jesus to come. How many of you heard about it? That's no joke. No, I mean, in a way, it's a joke. I think his name is Harold Camping. I haven't read what he said this time. I don't get anything from him. Years ago, I ran across some stuff he'd written when he'd set a date then. I was disappointed because he was wrong then. I hope he's right this time. But I don't have much confidence, to be honest. I don't have much confidence. But if he was right, are you ready to go? That's the big question. He's set May the 21st. That's getting pretty close. And again, I'm pulling for him to be right, though I don't think he is. Nevertheless, that's an exciting thing to think about, Jesus coming. Amen? Now, these disciples came, and Jesus told them some of these bad things that's going to happen, and they said, what will be the sign of you coming in the end of the world? Now, when I first heard some preaching on Matthew 24, I didn't know the difference, but rightly dividing it, this message is really not to the New Testament church. It's not really to us. Rightly dividing, it's to the Jews, and if you read through it, you'll find out much of what is predicted to take place will materialize into, at least go into, and be part of what we call the tribulation period, the 7 years of Jacob's judgment there. And Yet even that in itself, in the big package, is a sign that Jesus is coming. If we see things that will reach full development in the tribulation period, and we see their beginning now, then doesn't that tell us that the Lord is coming for the saved, the mysterious coming for the church, the catching away of the church? If we see things that tell us the trib is so close, how much closer is the rapture of the church for the saved? Now, I was thrilled when I first heard about the second coming of Christ, and I wanted to hear everything on it that I could. I learned, I read a fiction book. It's an old book. Many of you have probably read it. For a long time, the rapture wasn't taught that much, even though you can go back into the early history and find some of the church fathers referencing the catching away and so forth. And the Jews taught there would be a resurrection time. There would be the time that the graves would open, and so forth. Even they taught that, but it didn't really come in, and the word rapture didn't come in until a little bit later on. We understand a little bit about that, but I read a fiction book called, and how many of you read it? You can raise your hand. Do you ever read In the Twinkling of an Eye? Let me see your hands go up. Oh, well, I better shallow it on down here. I'm joking with you now, but The Twinkling of an Eye was a fiction book, but it was on the doctrine of the rapture. Yeah, but happening in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, 1 Corinthians 15. And it kind of made a big time when it come out, because the Orthodox so-called churches, the big denominational churches, did not teach that, did not know that. And so even though it was a fiction book, it brought a lot of attention. By the time you get the Scofield Bible, that most of you have, the old edition, the only one worth having, is the old edition. I don't mess with the King James text. And Scofield's notes teach, of course, the rapture. And that's where the title of the book, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, Paul said that teaching, and use your Bible a minute, go with me to Titus. Go 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus. Go over there and pick something up that is, I hope you can quote it, Chapter 2, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, what is it? Looking for the blessed hope. Now, I like to talk about who the Antichrist might be, but he's not my blessed hope. Jesus is. So who am I looking for? My blessed hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll come secretly for the church, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and it says, and the glorious appear. And there'll be a time when you read Revelation 19 that he'll come back in his glory, and the whole world will see him, and the tribes of the earth will mourn in fear when he comes back to take his kingdom. But Paul called it the blessed hope. I want to just kind of take this theme for just a minute tonight. When I first started hearing preaching, after I was saved, got saved in 1957. And when I first started hearing preaching, and then I became a preacher a few years later, and I preached coming of Christ all my life. Now, in so doing that, in just my own personal experience, I've watched the signs of the second coming of Christ, both his secret coming for the church and his glorious appearing. I've watched those signs develop to the place that I am shocked today how many of them have come, been fulfilled, and we've become just ho-hum about them. We've just come to the place that, yeah, so what? It's old stuff. We ought to be excited about it. I've been preaching here at this church 40 years, a little over now. I pastored in the country church 3 years. I was a youth leader in the church I was saved in a number of years before that. So I'm going back a ways. I'm going back quite a ways to say that when I first started even teaching a young people's group about the second coming of Christ, many of the things that we talked about have now come to fruition and have been with us a long time. Been with us a long time. Now, I just want to kind of halfway, just a little bit, review some of that. I'd start off with the church. One of the things that, and I've just been saying it, one of the things that's so disappointing to me is to see the church asleep like it is concerning the blessed hope of Jesus Christ. I guess if there's anything that disturbs me, it's the lack of respect I see for the things of God. Not just the world. You expect that out of them. They don't know the Bible. They don't know anything. The church is nothing to them but another building they hardly even notice when they pass by. But a lot of God's people on roll just have an attitude that they didn't have 40 years ago. They didn't even have 20 years ago to a great degree. Today, folks come to church all kind of ways, and I'm not talking about somebody having to dress up to come to church, but I'm talking about showing respect in the house of God. I'm talking about church members, like church members right here on my roll, that come to church and it's time for our friends to get together and party instead of paying attention to what's going on. I had an incident Sunday morning. I talked to the teachers about it up in teachers' meeting. And I'm not going to waste much time on it except to say I had a visiting lady. And we were full Sunday. It was Easter, right? We don't do much for Easter. It's just they pack out on Easter. And we had a few saved, thank God. But that's always an unruly crowd when they're not regular church going. So when we had a visiting lady in the balcony complain about a bunch of girls sitting up there partying during the whole church service, I first thought that's got to be visiting girls. But then to my disappointment, I found out that was not visiting girls. That was girls on my church roll. Now, that's a good thing I can't be omnipresent. You'd be in trouble. And I don't know whether they were old enough to be out among their parents. By the way, if it's parents, if they're still sleeping in your bed and eating your food, they're still under your control. And you ought to use that control. But the idea of no respect for the house of God. Let's sit here and play with our cell phones. And let's talk. It don't matter a man of God is up here trying to deliver his soul in the gospel to see somebody saved. That's the attitude I'm talking about that is a sign of the Lord's coming. The apathy. The nonchalant attitude. I don't know. When I first got saved, I went to church and I sat there and I didn't miss a word. My attention was there and I began to pick up on what the cause of the church was. And the cause was to reach others and send missionaries and do. And I was interested in that. Where you say, well, what do you think the problem is? I think some of them aren't saved. And some of them are just a backslidden. They don't know whether they're saved or not. But where is the Spirit of God grieving that person that can go to the house of God and just act like they were in the middle of a ball stand somewhere watching a ball game? That's bad. That's bad. That's, you say, that's not a sign of the Lord's coming. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. Right in this chapter, I didn't read it, right in this chapter it says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So the first love is gone if they ever had it. And I want to say something to all you young people. Growing up in a Christian home don't save you. It won't get you in heaven's gate. It's got to be a personal relationship between you and the Savior. And if you don't have that, it ought to worry you. If there's no guilt, if there's no conviction that you can come to church and text messages down the aisle or whatever else, something wrong. Y'all check up. Something wrong. Something missing. I'm telling you, it's missing. But I want to say even that is a sign of the Lord's coming. And I'm talking about things now that I've seen for 40 years that I preached about. Now they're here. For instance, the technology. We used to talk about the mark of the beast, and I'm sure Christians have been talking about that ever since the book of Revelation. But we didn't know how it was going to be done. We didn't know how any Antichrist or anybody else could keep up with 6 billion people on planet Earth. We know how now. They do it with a cell phone gadget now. I had a fellow going in and out of the Middle East in a troublesome situation. And he told me, he said, they were giving him trouble at the border. and Muslim country. And he came back, was telling me some about it. And he said, when I went in, they gave me a message for you. I said, what do you mean for me? They said, tell Mickey Carter we'll not have any of his soul winning in our country. We're talking about a border guard at the, in the Middle East. I said, didn't call my name. Oh, yes, they did. When he came back out, the guard with a smile said, tell Mickey Carter hello for us. Say, what is that? That's technology. They may be watching right now. We're streaming over the internet right now, I guess. And that sort of stuff. Computers, yeah, they can mark 6.5 billion people just like that. By the way, it's been in the news this week where they're keeping up with you over your cell phone if they want to. And some of you wouldn't give it up no matter what. I know that. You want the latest gadget. Stephen told me, don't lock the car. Nobody's going to steal anything out of your car. I said, I got my cell phone in there. He said, they won't steal that one. Not that old thing. Now, I know what he means. And while all of you are proud of what you can do with it, I'm proud of what I can't do with it. Amen. I just tell you. But technology, what did Daniel say about it? Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. What did he say? The time would come when many would run to and fro and knowledge would be increased. That's the computer age, folks. You're holding it in your hand. I remember when it was a big thing that somebody got one of these old-fashioned telephones and put it in their car. Could hardly imagine that thing working. But then some of the deacons got me one. I guess they wanted to keep up with it. I never could make it work very well. Now look where we're at. Hey, everybody. They may sleep on the bridge. They may come by the church to get something to buy a little food with, but they got a cell phone. They got a cell phone, brother. That's the technology. You say, what's that? That's a sign. That's a sign of Jesus coming soon. And there's others. I never would have thought I would have seen that kind of technology. You've heard me use it so many times. The satellite TV shows the two witnesses on the street in Jerusalem during the tribulation period. Whole world's going to see them. People 100 years ago didn't know how that whole world was going to see them, but we know now, don't we? Sure. Technology. Romans chapter 1. Look at it with me just a moment. Here's one that might not impress you much. It impresses me a little bit. I guess because I hate it so bad. Makes it an impression on me. But if you were to look at it in Romans chapter 1, just turn over there and look at it. Maybe about verse 25. Let's go to verse 25. Romans chapter 1. Talking about a crowd, an evil crowd that's rejected God here. It's been given over to a reprobate mind for it's over with. But in verse 25, talking about him, says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, capital C on your Creator in your King James, who is blessed forever, amen. Now let's get the picture. Say, what are you talking about there? Well, here's a crowd. They've changed the truth for a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. You get the difference? All right. The creature. The creature there can take in all, it can take in the planet Earth, it can take in the blue jays, it can take in the whales, it can take in that little desert lizard that they had on TV this week that has stopped them from drilling for oil out in the desert because somebody found a little desert lizard. I saw one just before I got in my car tonight. I'm not lying. The truth is that if they want a bag full, I can get them at my house. They're not endangered species except when they get under my foot. By the way, I had two rattuses caught in my rat trap this week out in my garage. One of them was a big old male rat. He's big. He's big as a small squirrel or bigger. But boy, that trap done a job on him. 2 hours later, his live-in partner came by and I got her. Same trap. Peter, eat your heart out. Bunch of junk, man. Gonna close down the oil rigs, killing the country with the price of oil, and we got a desert lizard that looks like all the lizards you ever seen. And what you got is a bunch of earth worshiper nuts. That's what they are. That's a sign they worship the creature more than the creator. They don't know the creator, and they think the creatures ought to have lawyers to go in court and represent, my master didn't give me the right dog food. There wasn't enough milk in my bowl. Let's sue this household. Hey, we laugh at it, but they're stopping million-dollar operations with that kind of stuff because they worship Mother Earth. I like that bumper sticker that said, I spit on your mother today. Amen. Amen. That's a sign. And you read that Romans a little bit further and you find out homosexuality is in this chapter. Men with men, women with women. And God's condemnation on it. Hey, 40 years ago, that thing, man, we thought there might be a few in the closet in the world somewhere. Now they got a lobby so strong that the president, the Congress, refuses to fight them over marriage. Did you see where, and I know you saw where the president and Attorney General Holder said we'll no longer defend the Marriage Act. The Marriage Act says marriage is only legit between a man and a woman. We'll no longer defend it. So the GOP used to be the grand old party. GOP hired a couple of lawyer firms, said, all right, if the Attorney General won't do his job, we'll hire outside lawyers to fight this homosexual move against marriage. And so they took the job, the law firms did, and now understand that the homosexual lobby has pressured them to the place they've refused to fight it. So nobody's fighting it. No, and it's a law on the books. It's a law on the books. Hey folks, the homosexual movement is one of the big signs. Sodom and Gomorrah. Days of Lot. That's a real big sign of the Lord's coming. Natural phenomena we could talk about forever. Right here in this chapter, the Lord warns that the earthquakes would come. Now, the big ones are ahead, folks. The big ones in the Bible are ahead. Now, even some of the others, people are saying they're ahead because they've studied the fault lines and so forth. But in the tribulation period, there's going to be some earthquakes that's going to make what we had in some other places around here, like Japan recently, look very small compared to what's coming. What's coming. That's just reviewing the signs a little bit. If you notice here, he said not only the earthquakes, but he also talked about pestilence and famines. Do you understand in the word pestilence, you got the you think of pestilence, you think of locusts, you think of locusts eating crops, you think of that. Okay, all that'll fit in, but let me tell you what. Do you understand that AIDS is caused from a pestilence? A little old tiny, if you looked at him under the microscope, a little old tiny worm-looking creature, that's a pestilence. Small enough you can't see him with the naked eye, but my. These things are coming, and they're coming like everything else. The wages of sin is death. And I don't care who likes it or don't like it, God has put a curse upon sin. And while the innocent often do get hurt, bless God, that thing called GERDS to start with, because it was first called GERDS because the G stood for gaze. But then that got politically incorrect, so they changed it. So they just dropped it off, and now it's just AIDS. It's an interesting thing that some of the big names in the country that was worshipped by some stupid folks died of it. I don't think that's a coincidence either. But I'm talking about reviewing a few signs coming along. In this same chapter here, it talks about false Christ. Now, we haven't had as many in the news lately, but we've had a pile of them in the last number of years. One did die, last week? Oh, what was his name? I can't remember his name. He was of a Hindu origin. His name was Saba Baba or Sobbing Baby or something. I'm not sure what it was. But he was a false one. And there's a lot of big celebrities attended his funeral. False deceivers. False Christ. And that's going to get worse. But all that still will be, most of it, tribulation stuff. But if you see it happening, beginning to happen now, we know it's going to materialize in the tribulation period, then that's telling us Jesus is coming for his very soon. The Jewish state, we could deal with that right on and on. Look over in the little book of Joel, if you can find it quickly. Get to Hosea, go back to your right. Get to Amos, go back to your left. Go over to Joel. Pick up Joel. Let me see what I believe I want about chapter 3 in Joel. I won't read all I could out of that chapter. It'd be the last chapter. But if you're there, Joel chapter 3, verse 1. For behold, in those days and in that time when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. Now, he's talking about a time he's going to bring them back. Verse 2, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. Now watch the last line. And parted my land. You understand that this is as current as your newspaper today that I just read. Do you understand the alignment of the nations against Israel is jockeying around, coming into position, almost there, just like the Bible said. Now, parted my land. What is the argument today? What is our president and administration been doing? In fact, did it under Clinton, did it under Bush, and doing it worse under Obama? I tell you what they're trying to do. They're trying to create a Palestinian state. And in so doing, they're asking for God's judgment. Divide Jerusalem, part my land. That's the Bible. And that's going to bring God's judgment big way. Now what God said, when you see all these nations gathering around to destroy Israel, and that's what they've been doing. And it's an amazing thing. They were getting along pretty good with Turkey. Now Turkey's against them. They were getting along peaceably a little bit with Egypt. Now Egypt's undergone a change. Syria right now, and it's an interesting thing going on over there, because the book of Isaiah says there's a day coming that Damascus in Syria, one of the oldest cities in the world, is going to be totally destroyed. And it's never been destroyed in its history. Never been destroyed, but it's going to be destroyed. It's interesting what's going on right now. Over there today, I guess it was, or yesterday, they're shooting their own people in the streets. Bad things are happening. This world is building up to an explosion that the Bible predicted. We ought to see the blessed hope as something very close and very real and very exciting. We ought to be thrilled. I feel bad for the folks being hurt, but I'm saying Jesus said these bad things would happen before he came. And we see it happening. I come back to where I started a little bit. The church condition, though, is still asleep. Oh, thank God for the few revived here and there. And I look in our own church and know that we're not near as red hot for God as we used to be. We've kind of, in a sense, said, well, we've tried and tried and tried, and we've give up on some folks here or there probably, and we quit trying maybe as hard as we used to, but we got more reason to try today than ever, because time's about up. The game's about to be called. The score's going to be turned in. We ought to be excited that Jesus is coming. But I see what I mentioned a while ago, lack of respect, whether it be dress or talking in church or cell phones or you name it, all that business. What a shame when we ought to be more fired up than ever before. This fellow that set the date, May 21st, and you say, well, you joke about that. No, I end a lot of my prayers, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And I'm not just saying that. I want him to come. Now, I'm in pretty good health, maybe compared to some of you. Far as I know, my wife and I were getting along pretty good when I left this morning. I got grandkids I love, and really I got a good life, but I'm ready for Jesus to come. I've visited enough hospitals. I've caught enough tears. I've seen enough bad. It's all right, Lord, just come on. Just come on, amen. Just come on. This fellow that set the date, May 21st, he's got some argument, and I haven't read a thing he's written on it, but I know where he's coming from a little bit. May 21st is around Pentecost. And I have always sort of believed the rapture had come near fulfilling the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah. And I still do. But it'd be all right if he comes on Pentecost. Won't bother me a bit. Say, Lord, I kind of was waiting on the Feast of the Trumpets, but I'm glad you come a little early. It's all right with me. Say, why would you think Pentecost? Well, when you study the little book called The Song of Solomon in your Bible, do you understand that's a picture of the groom coming for his bride? And it's a picture of the church and the Lord Jesus. Do you understand that when he came in the for his bride in the Song of Solomon, it was springtime. Springtime. May, yeah. Springtime. When was Pentecost? Springtime. When did Jesus leave to go back to heaven? Springtime. Pentecost. You ever read Acts 1:11? When he went out to the Mount of Olives and he ascended up in front of them. In Acts 1:11, the men in white stood by, those disciples, and said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? For this same Jesus shall come in like manner as you have seen him go. Do you understand that some of the early Christians said he empowered the church on Pentecost? He left on Pentecost. He's coming back in like manner as we've seen him go. He's coming back on Pentecost. Now, I hope they're right. But if not, we'll wait